Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
So a lot of people complain that there are many today who don't have a lot of core values, that we are living in an age where people are valueless, where people don't live by any particular, necessarily any particular morals or values. And so today we're going to talk about how to have your core values, how to identify your core values, and then how to live by them.
That's right, because many people, and we see this all the time, people come in, and one of the things, though there may be many problems, one of the things they're dealing with is the life they have constructed for themselves is not consistent with their core values. Some people don't know what their core values are. They've never investigated, done enough self-study to know what their real values are. Others know what their values are, but they've constructed a life that's inconsistent with those values. So this little activity here, and I have to say, I'm enthused about this.
I know.
I'm excited about it.
I know.
You know, because what we're going to do something a little bit different this morning.
We're going to do like a therapy session.
It'll be a little bit like therapy. This is like a homework assignment.
It is.
Right? Yeah, it's really like a homework assignment, right? And so what she does here, she being the author, what she does here is she walks you through an exercise that helps you to, A, clarify your values, and then take some steps toward living a life that is more consistent with your values. So if you have a paper and pencil, that would even be helpful.
Right.
Okay, then you could sort of take some notes because we're going to be asking you to do a few things during this. Not just listen, but to do a few things as we go along.
Absolutely. Okay? So in this article from Psychology Today, she writes about, she's writing about values. And so the first thing that she encourages us to do, it's a stepwise process.
Right.
First thing she asks us to do is to look at this list of 39 core values and to, sort of evaluate our life and to see which ones we would consider to be most important for ourselves.
And it's things like, if you're just listening to this and you're not viewing it yet, things like compassion, openness, loyalty, wealth, wisdom, freedom, curiosity. Those are
creativity,
examples of the
honesty,
of the 39 values, okay?
Yeah.
And what she asked, so the first thing is to look at these 39 and to think about which ones are important to you, which ones do you value.
Right. So she wants you to take the 39 and circle 3 to 5. Right. I like the idea of 5.
Right, I like 5 better than, it's a little bit easier because it's hard to narrow, for me it was hard to narrow down to 3.
Right.
I always wanted to add a couple. So I did 5
right.
when I did this exercise.
Right. So identify 5 of these 39 that seem most important to you.
Right.
All right. And for each one, write down something that you do that
reflects,
suggests that you live by them.
Right. So for example, if you choose honesty, if that's one of your 5, then beside honesty, write down something that you have done recently that reflects that value.
Right.
Okay. That's the first step. So, the first step is to identify the 5. The second step is to write down something that reflects reflects that you're using that core value, or that you are living a life consistent with that core value.
Right. Now, some of you may have a difficult time with this, because you are going to identify a core value, and then you may have difficult time figuring out or thinking about something that you've done to live by that. And then that's part of this process.
That's right. If you circle honesty, but you can't come up with any examples, maybe either you're not living a life consistent with your core values, or that's really not a value to you.
So thinking of one of the core values is openness. You know, if you say that you value openness, or if you believe that you value openness, but as you reflect back over the last week or two of your life, and you can't think of any time when you were really open, and that maybe in fact you were pretty closed off and you were pretty guarded with other people in your life, you know, again, it's a value that you may feel as though you should have, but it's not consistent with what you're, what you're living.
It's not how you're living your life.
Right.
You know, you think you are open, but perhaps you're not.
Right.
And so that's useful in itself.
Right.
Even before we get to the end of this, it's useful to clarify your values.
Mm-hmm.
And this little exercise, the first part of this exercise, gives you an opportunity to clarify your values.
Absolutely.
And now, it's okay to change. I mean,
if
you say, gee, I guess I'm not, I better go back and get another one,
mm-hmm.
that's perfectly okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it does lead us to step three.
Right.
So step one is to identify the 3 to 5 mm-hmm. values. Step two is to identify something you've done relatively recently that mm-hmm. suggests that you live by that value.
Right.
But step three is to write down some examples of where you're not
right.
living by that.
Where you're falling short
of that
value.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now we have the core values that you feel as though you, mm-hmm. you value, and examples and non-examples of how you are living
mm-hmm.
by that value.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And so now, so with that information, we can sort of get into some of the next, the last step that she has here, and that's step four, which is, you know, what are you going to do different next time?
Right. That's right. Because now that you've discovered some inconsistencies,
mm-hmm.
then what she asks you to do is to take those inconsistencies and what will you do differently
mm-hmm.
The next time? So you've identified your 5 core values. You've given examples of how you live by those. Now you've given some examples of how you have fallen short
mm-hmm.
or you're not living by them. Now the next step is to take those and say, okay, how are you going to change this? What are you going to do
right.
in the future to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Right.
What you may find is you're basically an honest person, except with your parents.
Well, yeah, listen.
Or your spouse.
Right.
Or your boss. You
right.
know, or you're very, very honest, but you steal things from work once in a while,
right.
paper clips and paper, and
right.
maybe you just help yourself to those things, okay?
Right.
So that helps you identify those places where your values are not in line,
right.
or where your behavior is not in line with your values.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's just do a quick example.
Right.
All right, so let's say that one of my core values is friendships.
Right.
Okay? So I feel as though friendships are very important
mm-hmm.
To me, and that I want to, you know, make sure that I'm living a life that is consistent with somebody who's friendly and that,
right.
you know, has good relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that as one of my top five,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to write down some examples of how
mm-hmm.
I've done that. And so I may write down, you know, I talk with people who I feel close to. I might be texting with them on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I may, you know, ask them about going to the movies together
right.
or spending
Made
time
a phone
with them.
Call. Just call to check
them.
Up on them. Right.
And so I like their pictures on Facebook, you know, all these things.
That's a good one.
That I do to suggest that I am being a good friend.
Right.
But then I have to look at non-examples as well. And so in non-examples, perhaps, you know, there was a day last week where I was really overwhelmed from work and I had to go by the store after work. And I saw my friend down another aisle, and I was thinking, oh, there's just no way that I can,
right.
you know, spend time talking with him today. I just don't feel like it. I got to get out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get back home. And so I wasn't very friendly, and so I avoided them,
right.
and I missed an opportunity to be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe another example could be that you're walking down the sidewalk or something, and you see somebody drop something,
right.
and instead of stopping to help them pick up their belongings
mm-hmm.
because you're in a hurry or something, you
right.
just keep walking by,
right.
and so you weren't very friendly, even though it wasn't a person that you know. You weren't very friendly. You weren't very cordial
mm-hmm.
to that person. So mm-hmm. those could be some non-examples of those core values that
right.
I'm living in my life.
Or you get home and you're sort of beaten up from work,
mm-hmm.
tired, a little frustrated, and you walk in, you don't initially talk to anybody. You
right.
don't greet anybody. Or somebody else comes into the house,
mm-hmm.
a children, a spouse, a relative, and you just don't get up and greet them with any enthusiasm,
right.
you know, and the other person begins to wonder what's wrong or what
right.
have I done. And so, yeah, those are good examples
yeah.
where either with family, friends, or just acquaintances.
Well, a very common one now too is that, you know, somebody, your friend calls you.
Right.
And you're like, or text you or
they
something.
They text you.
And you're like, I'm just going to not look at that one right now.
The now famous, I didn't get that text.
I didn't get that text.
Sure you did.
Yeah. So, but those are examples of situations where you're not living by that core value.
Right.
All right. And then the final step, of course, is looking at those non-examples and trying to decide what you can do differently next time.
Right. Because you may decide that, no, it's okay once in a while to avoid running into people if you don't want to talk to them. That's
or if you're in a hurry.
And you may decide, no, that was the best thing to do under those circumstances. On the other hand, if you're thinking that I'm not as friendly as I should be when I walk into my house, I don't greet the kids, I don't talk to them, that's something I need to work on. So you make those kinds of decisions with these non-examples.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So if you, as you go through this process, as you complete this homework assignment, you know, this is going to help inform us as to, you know, how we need to make some changes perhaps in our life. You know, what do we do if we're not living a life consistent with what we feel are our core values? I think the first thing is we really need to think about, is this really a core value? How do I define, again, if we're sticking with friendships, how do I, how am I defining being a friend? You know, being friendly and having good friendships as an important value. I may be defining it differently than other people may define it. You know, to me, I have, there are individuals that I talk to, friends perhaps, who, you know, their definition of being a friend is very different than my definition of being a friend. You know, their definition involves, you know, the different forms of commitment and different forms of, you know, mutual benefit.
Right.
You know, I'll be a friend with somebody as long as being a friend with them benefits me
gets
in some
me something.
Way. Right. Which is very different than the way that I see friendships. So we need to really evaluate how we're defining some of these core values.
Right. That's right. Because it may be that we haven't really thought through everything.
Right.
That's one problem. We think we're something that we're not. You know? And what this does, is it goes back to that thing we talked about earlier in the week where the early analysts, those people who were trained by Freud, many of them, and I think of Karen Horney in particular, talk about the real self and the ideal self. Okay, that we have this idealized version of ourselves that we think we're we think we're this kind of person, but yet the person we portray out in the world may be very different from that, okay?
Right.
And so what this exercise, typically it's other people who tell us, who inform us through their behavior that perhaps we're not living the life that we think we're living. You know, I think I'm particularly open, but a lot of people may disagree, may not agree with that at all. You know, I don't, I'm just unaware of it.
Right.
And so what this exercise does is it helps you to, it opens you up to some self-analysis. It's very hard to analyze yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we all have these favorable images of ourselves. And so it's difficult to really peel back some of those layers and be really honest with yourself to say, maybe I'm not as honest as I think I am.
Right. Yeah, there's a concept in personality psychology that talks about our relative, relatively poor insight into our own personality.
Into ourselves.
Because we see, we tend to see ourselves as normal. And just because we see ourselves as normal, doesn't mean that other people see us as normal.
That's right.
And so we may see ourselves as being very friendly, very open, and other people may see us as being directing and commanding and manipulative and overwhelming. Depending on one's point of view, we may be talking about exactly the same behaviors, but the perception leads to very different opinions and different ideas.
That's right. I can come up with a bunch of examples in my own family, not my nuclear family, but cousins and aunts and uncles and things, where their opinion, I mean, you all have friends, we all have acquaintances who they think that they're living a very normal, ethical life, and we're thinking, you're nowhere close.
Right.
Well, it's possible that other people are looking at us the same way,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we think we are, but perhaps we're not.
Right.
And occasionally, I think it's good for everybody to go through one of these self-analyses like this,
right.
okay? Because you have to keep clarifying your values. Mm-hmm. They may change over time,
right.
okay? But you need to keep clarifying your values and to think and to be very honest about yourself, you know?
Yeah.
This gives you a nice way to do that.
Yeah.
But so now you've clarified the five,
yeah.
right? And you say, yeah, well, these really are my five.
Right.
So, and you might have to go up and pick a couple of others.
Right. Right?
You started with five, but maybe you change a few. So now, it's a little bit like cards, you know, I'm going to mm-hmm. discard these two.
That's right. Plain Texas Hold'em.
That's right. I'll take two. And so now you've defined your five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next step.
So now we need to figure out, once we've done this analysis, we need to figure out how to start living by our
right.
values.
Right.
All right. So if, you know, even if you choose, even if you identify a particular value as a value mm-hmm. that you hold dear, but you can't think of any examples.
Right.
And in fact, you maybe think of multiple non-examples. But yet, even after that analysis, you think, man, no, this is really important to me. This is something right. that I really want to do.
It's something that I really want.
Right.
It's an aspirational value,
right.
which is perfectly okay.
Perfectly fine.
Right.
So now what do we do to start living right. by those values?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to talk about next.
That's right. So this is the, I guess, step six. Okay.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
So the, again, one of the first steps is you have to figure out what that value means to you.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. what does it mean to be friendly? What does
right.
it mean to be honest? What
right.
does it mean to be open?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand what that value means to
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe come up with some examples of things that you can do in your life that is consistent with that.
Right. You know, this makes me think of the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
I remember when we were studying the Ten Commandments, one of them is, thou shalt not kill. And
right.
you think, okay, I'm clear. I'm in the clear on that one because I'm not going to kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there are subsections of that commandment.
Right.
It also means that you won't hit anybody. You won't be physically aggressive. It means a lot of other things
right.
than just killing people.
Right.
And so same with your values, you know. You say honesty, but what do you mean, first of all, what do you mean right. by honesty? Do you mean not stealing? Do you mean
right.
telling the truth?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the subsets
right.
of each value? And
right.
think hard about what the subsets of honesty are.
Right, because thinking of honesty, right? Okay, everybody, I think everyone would agree that it's good to be honest. However,
right.
I can think of examples where I will not be honest.
Right.
You know, I can think of examples where being...
And you're deliberately not honest.
Deliberately not honest, but also deliberately, you know, there's a difference between honest and brutally honest.
Okay, I'll take
right?
that. Yeah.
So there's these, like, gradations. There's these...
Does this dress make me look fat?
Right.
You better lie.
Well, no. Not lie, but be gentle.
Be gentle in telling the truth.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, I can't believe you use that as the example.
Well, that's what always comes up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, do I look good in this color? No. but don't say that.
It's not really a spring color.
There are other colors that enhance your features more than that one.
Right.
Yeah. So you're being honest.
Yeah. But you have to... But again, you know, the point is that you have to figure out, you have to look at these different subsections, as you said, sub-values,
mm-hmm.
Sub-components of it.
Right.
But what our author here talks about is, you know, once you have your core values and once you are trying to now figure out
right.
how you're going to live by them, there's three sets of questions that you need to ask yourself.
That's right. And these are useful. I mean,
right.
don't skip these three questions. You know,
right.
sometimes you say, okay, I got this figured out. No, go head down to the end
right.
where you will find these three questions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first question is, are there any people with whom you have a difficult time living this value? And
right.
it's exactly what we were just talking about.
That's right.
That there may be situations where living by that particular value is not going to be
mm-hmm.
very...
Mm-hmm.
very good for you, very consistent for you. And it's important to identify that right away because And you have to figure out if you're okay with that or not.
Right. I'm smiling because I just thought of, I have a relative mm-hmm. who considers himself very ethical. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he would say honesty is one of his things. Mm-hmm. He's a liar. He lies all the time. Now, I don't know whether he knows he lies, whether he's doing it on purpose, or it's benevolent lies, like he wants to spare people's feelings, or right. he doesn't want you to worry about things. It's like, mm-hmm. he lies all the time. But I'll bet he would say honesty.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to do this with him.
Yeah, that'd be a good.
I'd like to take him through it myself, yeah. but he's not here, so.
Yeah. Near the bottom of the, at the bottom of this article is a link to her website,
yeah, right.
and she has some quizzes and things like
yeah,
that on there.
Yeah, you can take
that
another quiz.
You can figure out some of this stuff. But yeah, so, you know, figuring out if there are people in your life,
right.
Situations in your life, well, we'll get to situations next, but if there are specific people in your life that
right.
will make it very difficult for you to be consistent with this value.
And what a great exercise that mm-hmm. is, because mm-hmm. you might say, yeah, I really am, except with, then you might have some work to do there. Mm-hmm. First of all, figure out why you're not honest with that person, because mm-hmm. it may be better not to be in some mm-hmm. cases. On the other hand, it may need a little bit of work,
mm-hmm.
okay, to align with your value.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can identify a person or people with whom you're not honest, or you're not open, or you're not forthright, forthcoming, this would be a good time to think of, okay, how can I change
right.
this?
Right? Yeah.
So that's the first one. It's what people.
Right. And I think of, and you want to be, what am I trying to say? You want to be gentle with yourself with this process a little bit.
Right.
Because as you look at these first two, so the first one is, are there people with whom you will have difficulty
right.
maintaining this value? And then the second one is, are there situations that make it difficult for mm-hmm. you to live this value? You know, I get stuck on honesty sometimes, because there are situations, there are times of the year where parents are somewhat intentionally dishonest with their kids.
Times of the year.
Life. December, for example, where we're intentionally dishonest
right.
with our kids, but it's not being mean, it's not being, it is being deceitful, but it's not...
But not malevolent.
Not malevolent, right.
It's a benevolent dishonesty.
Right, so right. you want to be gentle with yourself, because right. that's... You know, that time of year is, mm-hmm. It's not uncommon for that to happen, but...
And to remember that life occurs in shades of gray.
Right.
You know, so we're not saying do this exercise and something is going to become absolute,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you always have to be honest 100% of the time.
Right.
Okay. There are shades of
right.
gray here.
Yeah. So. And that's why I get stuck with, there's nothing that's absolute. And so as you're working through these questions... that you have to, these sets of questions mm-hmm. that you have to ask yourself, there's going to be times where, there will most certainly be times where you're going to say, I can't maintain this value, or it's going to be really difficult for me to maintain this value
right.
in this situation or with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay,
right.
Especially if we're thinking about it in a black and white way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, the second one is to think of situations
right.
Where it's difficult to maintain mm-hmm. your value. And again, these situations can happen at work. These situations can happen mm-hmm. at home. But it's just important to consider, you know, when is it going to be more or less challenging to mm-hmm. to maintain this value?
Right. That's right. What are the circumstances?
Right.
You know, what are the situations when it's going to be difficult?
Right. Mm-hmm. So we have the people with whom it will be difficult, the situations with whom it will be difficult. And the third set of questions is really just looking at anything else. Are there any other times, mm-hmm. scenarios,
right.
Opportunities
mm-hmm.
where it's going to be difficult to maintain this value? So people...
Right.
Situations, and then any other circumstance
mm-hmm.
that will make
mm-hmm.
it difficult to live up to this value.
Right.
It may be, for example, if you one of your values, key values, is kindness.
Right.
Let's be honest. When we're really hungry and tired,
right.
it's really difficult to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? We get hangry.
Hangry, you get...
Right? And so it's important to recognize that those are situations, those are a set of circumstances that will make it difficult to live by that value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just have those down as well. So
right.
The people, the situations, and the other circumstances
where it's
going to be difficult.
And this helps you refine your thinking and decide what you're mm-hmm. going to do about these things.
Right.
Yep.
Because once you've now identified those sort of external conflicts,
right.
For living your values, now we can now we can work through on how to deal with those.
You know, and what I like about this, she titles this section "Identify Your Value Conflicts."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's sort of what you're doing as you walk through this whole thing. But in that third question, like, what are the circumstances? Well, every time I go to a certain place, it could be a tavern. Or a restaurant, or someplace else, it brings out the worst in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are certain places where we go that we're just uneasy,
right.
or it sets us off, or we do things that we normally wouldn't do. For example, for some people, it's going to a bar. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay, but if I go to this bar, I drink too much and I get into some kind of trouble.
Right.
Like if I'm driving or I'm fighting or mm-hmm. I'm arguing with people, I get into disagreements with people. I'm just at my worst when I'm in this place.
Right.
And this helps you to identify those. It helps.
Another example would be driving the interstate.
Right.
You know, you may know that every time you drive on the interstate, especially some of the interstates that we have here in Florida.
Did you know that I-4, we live on I-4.
Right.
Is the most dangerous highway in the country?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just found out 2 weeks ago.
It's one of the only two interstates that aren't interstate, right?
That's I-4, true.
I-4 is only
it's
in Florida.
It's only in Florida.
I'm not sure why they call it an interstate.
I-10 is only in Florida.
I thought I-10 went through the
panhandle.
Oh,
no. It goes through Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I-4, and I think the other one is in Hawaii. I think they have an interstate in Hawaii
that's right.
It's only in Hawaii, of course.
But we have a very dangerous road here. It's
right.
very frustrating because the traffic stops on this 3- and 4-lane interstate, comes to a complete standstill for no apparent reason.
Yesterday, I was on my way back from doing some work in Tampa, and there was the traffic was slowing and then stopping.
Mm-hmm.
There was a car on fire.
Oh.
And I mean, the flames were 20 feet high. I mean, it was
that would stop traffic for hours.
It was awful.
No, so. and you have to plan, like we have airports. We live between Tampa and Orlando. Those are our airports.
Right.
You have to always plan for stoppage, for road stops.
Right.
When you're planning your flight arrangements, because you never know,
right.
and it stops for no apparent reason.
15 minutes will make the difference. Make a 45-minute to an hour difference.
That's right. And rush hour is a nightmare. I mean, it really is a nightmare. We feel I
we're
can't imagine.
We're going to spend the rest of this podcast complaining about I-4.
No, but I think where you were going with that is that don't get on I-4
right.
if it bothers. I mean,
right.
if you know that brings out the worst.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I go earlier. Because
right.
I know that if I go later in the day, even on a weekend,
mm-hmm.
I can get really frustrated because there's no reason for the traffic
right.
to stop. But if I leave 2 hours earlier,
mm-hmm.
it's clear sailing.
Right. And what I do the same. I leave a little bit early, but I also make sure that I have like a good 2 hours or so worth of podcasts that I can
right.
listen to that I really want to hear. So that at least when I'm sitting there in the on the interstate, that I'm listening to something that I enjoy.
That's right. And there are other parts of our city where
mm-hmm.
it's very frustrating to drive to.
Right.
Okay. So don't.
Right.
There's really nothing you have to have there.
Right.
And if you do, go at a don't go Saturday afternoon.
Or find
at
an alternate route.
Right. Or don't go Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Right.
You know, because that's what you know the traffic is going to be at its worst then.
Right.
There was I don't know what city it was, but we used to shop at night
mm-hmm.
because,
yeah.
no, it was here. You shop on Sunday morning,
right.
like at 8 or 9 o'clock on
right.
Sunday morning. The store's empty, okay?
Right.
But if you wait until 1 or 2,
right.
the store is absolutely packed and you're going to have to wait in line.
Yeah.
Well, if waiting in line is something that bothers you, then shop when there are no lines.
Right.
And that's either early in the morning or late at night.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so again, once you've identified these value conflicts, right. mm-hmm. then you figure out ways to work around them.
Right. Right.
And to avoid the conflict.
That's right. This is managing your stress. Right. Right?
Exactly.
Man.
So again, you go through, you have your 3 to 5 values, you have your examples and non-examples, you've asked yourself these three right. questions for when people, situations, or other circumstances conflict with your ability to live by those values. And then you identify ways to avoid those conflicts or manage right. those conflicts.
Yep. And one other thing that she mentions in the article is that we are all always trying to get our needs met.
Right.
Okay. Our security needs, our safety needs, our intimacy needs, our health needs. What she encourages, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we do, is to get your needs met. Mm-hmm. In ways that are consistent with your values.
Right.
Okay. Then you align things.
Right.
Then things are aligned, and you avoid that sense of dissonance or internal conflict
right.
that causes people to become anxious.
Right.
You know, I think of all the people who struggle with anxiety, this is probably a component of their anxiety mm-hmm. is that their values and their needs and their desires just aren't aligned properly. And if you could get them in alignment,
right.
I think you'll find you have a more peaceful existence. There's
Absolutely.
Some tranquility.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you mentioned Horney's ideal self and real self, mm-hmm. the closer those are in alignment,
that's right.
The happier, the more satisfied,
right.
the more peaceful, the mm-hmm. less stressful our lives will be.
That's right.
And so, that's another homework assignment. But
right.
you know, looking at, you know, again, this process certainly goes through much of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at who you are and who you want to be, and trying
right.
to get those in as much to be as consistent as possible
right.
is critical.
That's right.
So,
There's good things happening here. I hope you take the opportunity to go through this activity and let us know what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd love to hear from you on this one.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, that's it for today.
I had fun doing this.
Yeah.
I really did. I enjoyed this, and I thank her for presenting this. Her being, we didn't even mention her name.
No, it's, that's why.
Oh, Kiki Davis. I would say Kiki. It's Kiki,
it
I'm sorry. It's T-C-H-I-K-I.
Mm-hmm. Davis is her last name. Dr. Davis, that's what I would say.
Oh, you'd say. Oh,
Dr.
Clever,
Davis.
Clever girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. But thank you, Dr. Davis. That was really good.
Yeah,
really
good activity. And I'm going to go to her. I went to her website. Mm-hmm. I've been to the Berkeley website.
BerkeleyWellbeing.com.
Right. And there's some good things there, too. And she has a second one that mm-hmm. gives some quizzes
yeah.
you can take that will refine it even more.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Enjoy.
So, all right, that is it then for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychRidge podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.